You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
I want you to turn in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes 7. So Cyprus and Siena, downtown, digital family, turn in your Bible to Ecclesiastes 7. If you have trouble finding Ecclesiastes, that's totally cool. Everybody does. Just go to Psalms, which is right in the middle of your Bible, and go to the right a few books, and you'll find it. It'll be there. And if you can't find it that way, there's what's called a table of contents, where spiritual people go when they can't find that book in the Bible somewhere. That's okay. It's a big book. There's 66 of them in there. You can look in the table of contents and be okay. That's an okay thing to do. You know, if you go on a road trip, you got to come up with some games as you go along the road trip to make sure everybody stays sane in the car and you actually have a good time on the vacation. And one of the games that's kind of always a crowd favorite is Would You Rather. You know what Would You Rather is? You kind of give a Would You Rather this or that. Well, we're going to see Solomon's going to give us some Would You Rathers in just a little bit. He's going to call them better thans. He's going to say, this is better than that. Would you rather this? Or would you rather this? It's better. So we're going to have a little crowd participation, okay? So I need you to come along with me. This is the part where you respond. You're going to raise your hand on a couple would you rathers, all right? Now, I can see you, okay? So I can see if you're participating or not, even through all the way to Cyprus and Siena and downtown and digital family, okay? So here we go. Here's our first one. Would you rather travel to the beach or to the mountains? How many beach people do we have? All right, especially on a cold day. How many mountains people do we have? Okay, all right. Looks like we had more mountains people, at least at the Loop campus. Would you rather read a book or watch a movie? Read a book. Watch a movie. All right, you ready? We're about to have a little fun here. I've been warming you up. Would you rather talk like Yoda or breathe like Darth Vader for the rest of your life? Okay. Who wants to talk like Yoda for the rest of your life? Who wants to breathe like Darth Vader the rest of your life? All right. It's kind of hard to vote for Darth Vader in church, right? And it's just kind of evil, you know, is what it seems like. Now we get to the one that Solomon's going to ask, and I'll give this to you rhetorically. You don't have to respond. He's going to ask us, would you rather have a good name or would you rather smell good is what he's going to ask. He's going to ask us, would you rather go to a party? Would you rather go to a funeral? And it's going to come out a little bit different than what we think our typical answers would be, because what he's wanting to do is teach us to make it in life, we're going to have to walk with wisdom. And he's going to show us some wisdom in chapter 7. Now, what is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to live life skillfully. That's what wisdom can be defined as. It's to be able to have understanding in life that we can walk in a deeper look of what's happening. So as we look into Ecclesiastes chapter 7, written by Solomon, it's a word for the church from the Greek word ekklesia is where we get Ecclesiastes. Really interesting, a Greek word in a Hebrew Old Testament. Verses 1 through 4, watch what he says and watch the phrase and underline when you see better than, okay? A good name is better than fine perfume. And the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. And it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. Since that is the end of all mankind, and the living should take it to heart. Verse 3, grief is better than laughter. When a face is sad, a heart may be glad. The heart of the wise is in a house of mourning. And the house, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure. So let's just take a pause right there. Really interesting things. Some things that we wouldn't probably say. So he asks this first thing. It's better than to have a good name than it is to have fine perfume. You could look at another place in the Bible and say a good name is better than riches. These little proverbs, remember Solomon wrote a lot of proverbs, so we're getting some proverbs in here as well. Now, why would he say that it's better to have a good name than to have fine perfume? I mean, I kind of go, I mean, cologne, perfume, so who cares? What he's asking more deeply is this. Do you want to be respected by everybody on the outside, or do you want to be respected for your inside? See it? Is it beauty in the exterior? Is it the things that you've accomplished? Is it the aroma that you give off as you pass through a room? Or is it the good name in your heart that you are a person that walks with God, walks with integrity, famous or not, rich or not, smart or not, this or not, whatever it is. Our exterior as human beings can drive us and pull us greatly. All of us want to look nice. All of us want to smell good. Nobody wants to show up and be the one at the party and go, who's the one that stinks? Anybody? You know, and you start getting, deodorant keeps getting to be your Christmas present. That's not what you want. But what he's saying is something deeper than that. Are you living for the exterior? Are you living for the interior? Are you living for the temporary? Are you living for the eternal? Just this morning, I had this awesome sweater I was going to wear today. Did you know that? It would look so good, far better than what I'm wearing right now. And then I found a hole in it here and a hole in it here. And I told Kelly, don't lay up treasures where moth and rust, right? The temporary goes by really quick, and he says, I want you to put your focus on having a good name, a good reputation, that you would be known, and they'd say, when your name comes up, people would go, yeah, you know what, he's a good dude. Yeah, she's a great lady. Yeah, the prayer warrior. Yes, walking with God, man of integrity, woman of integrity, give you a fair shake, word of encouragement on their lips, a good name is better than riches, and a good name is better than the exterior. And that's the first thing that he gets to. Would you rather everybody love you on the outside, or would you rather be a person of character and godliness and depth on the inside? Even our devotional this morning in Capture the Moment was talking about being a person of depth in our lives. This is what this is about. So let me just give you a little name recognition thing. What do you think about when I say George Washington, Benedict Arnold, right? I bet if I was to ask you five questions about Benedict Arnold, you wouldn't know five things about Benedict Arnold. I mean, was it the Revolutionary War? Was it a Civil War? How much do you really know about Benedict Arnold? But when I say his name, you go, oh, I know he's a traitor. Well, what did he do? I don't know, but I know he's a traitor. His name for all of history is marred, okay? So what Solomon is asking us to do is he is asking us, he's saying, I want you to ponder profoundly. I want you to ponder profoundly. That's the point. I want you to really think about this from a deep level, not just an exterior. That's easy. Everybody can do that. But from a deep level, do you want to have God do something in you? And if God does something in you, in your character and who you are, it's going to take time, it's going to take effort, it's going to take grace, it's going to be a provision of the Lord, yes. It's going to take some hurts along the way to cultivate a heart that really walks with him. That's the first thing he gives us on profoundly pondering, thinking a little bit deeper. And then he takes us to another place which you're like, no way, are you really saying this? Verse 2, it's better to go into a house of mourning than a house of feasting. Since that is the end of all mankind, and the living should take it to heart. Grief, verse 3, is better than laughter. How in the world can that be true? Then it says in verse 4, the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure. And if I was to ask you, who would rather go to a funeral? Who would rather go to a party? You'd probably say, I'd rather go to a party. I hope you would, right? I'd rather go to a party than a funeral. But he says there's wisdom that happens at the funeral. What is he trying to tell us? Here's what he's trying to tell us. One, this is the end of all men and women. When we go to a funeral, everyone either does or should wonders, what are they going to say about me? Who's going to come when I die? What are they going to talk about with me? Are they going to just talk about the perfume on the outside? Or are they going to talk about the character on the inside that he just built into us of profoundly pondering these things? So he says, it's wiser to go into a house of mourning. Wisdom is gathered when we walk into pain. Now watch this. Party is an escape, isn't it? And we need those escapes. We need fun. We need recreation, recreation, a Sabbath. We need to have joy. We need to laugh. We need to enjoy ourselves. We need to go to a concert. We need to laugh at a movie. All of those things are great, but they're diversions, aren't they? They're escapes. Instead of the kind of real world of work and all the things, let's go do something fun to kind of get our mind off this, right? Let's go on vacation. You never go vacation to the office. You go vacation somewhere else to try to divert your mind and attention. But yet a funeral takes you right into the essences of life and pain and death and all that's happening. And you begin to ponder these things and think about them. And so he says, I want you to understand that there is something that happens in our lives. A funeral is a foreshadowing. What will be said about me? What will my life consist of? You know, our whole lives come down to about a 4-minute video, don't they? A slideshow. Something like this in a program. Wonderful, great stuff. Not negating it at all. But to be able to say, okay, what do I want to live for in these things that will really make it to be the things that are remembered, that I will be able to have people reflect upon and to live with that good reputation of a good name instead of just perfume, if you will, that fades. So it's an amazing thought to think about this experience. He said, it's of greater value, not necessarily more fun, but greater value when we go to a place where we have to deal with our mortality and walk in a place of wisdom and say, okay, from this place, I'm going to walk with a greater trust in God to allow the Lord to do that. Do you know in our church, your church, we do about 125 to 150 funerals a year. If you didn't just include where our staff would be involved, where a staff member would go speak at a funeral home or at another church or something like that, it gets to around 200 that we're involved in. Now, that's an amazing thing. Now, I don't want you to be like, man, I'm not going to that church. Everybody dies, okay? That's not what I'm trying to say, okay? Everybody does die. That is a true statement. But, you know, not, you know, we're not doing anything to cause this, all right? We're just ministering to people in this thing to be able to have. So that's been our average over years and years and years and years and years type thing. It's an interesting thing to work at a place that you show up and there's a hearse outside the door. Makes you think. By spending my time doing what I need to be doing today, right? So he says, I want you to ponder. I want you to think deeper. I want you to decide on what matters. And if it's going to matter, hear this. If it's going to matter when it's said at your funeral, are you doing something about it today? If it matters then, it should matter today. It should matter tomorrow. And what happens a lot of times is we keep the things that we matter a long way off because we don't really think about those. We keep our diversions close by. And instead, let's do what matters now and say, Lord, we want that to matter because if it matters every day, it'll matter on that day. And not that we're just shooting for a great funeral. That's not what I'm trying to say. But to live a great life, that we're able to live it in such a way that we can really reflect. The heart of the fool is looking for the next party, is what he's saying. The heart of the wise is looking for the next way to serve God, okay? Now, would you rather, I'd rather a good name than perfume, sure. But I kind of like parties more than I like funerals, and particularly with my personality, I like a good party. So I've got to understand this wisdom that God wants me to look more profoundly in depth and understand what's happening. It's better than a feast. It's wisdom when we deal with hard things and we're able to walk these things through. Now, we've got to look deeper. I want to take you on a little crowd participation again. We're going to look deeper, all right? I want to show you some things that you've seen a million times, but I bet you've never seen it, okay? Let me put up a logo of a few companies for you. FedEx, you've seen that a million times, right? You've mailed them, you've received them. Have you ever noticed between the E and an X, there's an arrow? You see it? What's it saying? We're moving this package, right? So every time you see FedEx from here on out, I want you to say, Lord, I want to go with you, okay? When you see that, you just say, Lord, I want to go with you. Let me show you another one I don't think you've seen. Baskin Robbins, awesome, so good. Last night was the daddy-daughter dance for First Baptist Academy. It was awesome. We had a great time, and we ended up at Baskin Robbins afterwards to have some ice cream last night, which is great. Have you ever noticed there's a 31 right in the middle of the B and the R in pink? Some of y'all remember 31 treats, right? 31 flavors, different flavor for every day of the month. I didn't realize. I just thought it was a B and R that was kind of colorful. There's a 3 and a 1 in the middle of the B and R. So every time you see that, I want you to say, Lord, you're sweet and satisfying. And look more deeply, that's what we're talking about, look profoundly into what's happening. Let me show you another couple of them here. Amazon, I know you've seen this one. I always thought it was just a smile. Maybe it is a smile, but it's also saying that they have everything from A to Z. Do you see it? That Amazon will give you everything from A to Z. So what we say to that, when we see that, and you'll see a lot of those trucks rolling around, Lord, you're my Alpha and you're my Omega. You have everything in my life from A to Z, Lord. I just want to give you that. Have you ever seen that before? All the times you've seen Amazon, you got to look deeper to see something. Let me give you another one here. The last one that I'll give you on corporate stuff, Tostitos. Right there, that I and those two T's, that's two people dipping a chip into salsa. Two people dipping a chip into salsa, which is great. So when you see that, you can say, Lord, let the Bengals win the Super Bowl. You know, that's what you can say. Have mercy on them, Lord, after all these years. But here's what you can say. You say this, Lord, you're where the party is. You're where the party is, meaning the joy, not contradicting the party with the funeral, but Lord, you're where the fun is. Now, let me show you a logo. I hope you've seen this one before. You ever seen that one? Oh, yeah. Did you know that that F is actually also a cross that's there? Did you know that the three bands stand for relevant biblical community? Also stands for gather, grow, give, our staff values of godly, effective, excellent. It stands for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all those things together. There's a symbolism that's there with the logo of our church that maybe you didn't even know. Now, the Loop campus, I want you to see another one because we didn't have our campuses at this point when we designed the logo. I want Loop campus, I want you to look up at the ceiling and see if it looks a little familiar like the logo. Here's the circle right over the stage where the cross is. May the cross be preached right here where I'm standing. That's the place where I'm standing in the logo. And then the bands to be able to go further back so it actually mimics the roof of the Loop Worship Center. For those of y'all at campuses, you know, you got pretty roofs too. It just didn't work into the logo quite as easily. There's something deeper to see. And what is Solomon saying? There's a better than. And so when you see exterior, go for the interior. When you see a diversion, go for the place of wisdom in real life. Profoundly ponder, ponder profoundly. Now let me give you the second point. The second point is this, consider closely, consider closely. We're gonna see his next better thans are consider closely. Let me give you a couple would you rathers, okay? We're gonna be back crowd participation. Here we go again, you ready? Would you rather wear a clown wig or clown shoes every day, okay? Clown wig or clown shoes every day? How many clown wig? You'd rather wear a clown wig every day? How many clown shoes every day, okay? People that love their hair are like, no, 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 Would you rather be a clown, rodeo season, would you rather be a clown that distracts the bull or the cowboy who rides the bull, okay? Clown that distracts the bull or the cowboy that rides the bull. How many want to be the clown that distracts the bull? How many want to be the cowboy that rides the bull? Amen. Let's go. 8 seconds, right? Let's get after it. That's awesome. I think I'd like to do that once, all right? Be able to do that. Then Solomon gets us to our rhetorical one biblically. Would you rather be criticized or praised? He's actually going to say, prefer to be criticized. Now, that's an interesting one. So I'm supposed to want to go to a funeral. I'm supposed to want to be criticized. I don't get this, Solomon. Well, there's something that's going to happen deeper in my life if I can examine a little bit closely, more closely, if I can consider more closely. Look, if you will, into verses 5 through 7. It is better, here's our would you rather, it is better to listen to a rebuke from a wise person than to listen to the songs of fools. For like the crackling of burning thorns under the pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This is futile. This is vanity. This is purposeless. Verse 7. Surely the practice of exhortation turns a wise person into a fool, and a bribe corrupts the mind. So what is he saying there? It's better to receive criticism, and we'll get to it in a second, from the right person. It's better to receive criticism than it is to receive false praise. So he's saying, when the fools laugh, when the fools are having a party, it's like underneath a fire, the crackling of those small little sticks. Do you remember in Corinthians where Paul says, go for gold, silver, and costly stones, not hay, wood, and stubble, for it will be burned up in the fire. Same illustration, Old Testament to New Testament. And so he's saying, I don't want you to live for the crackling praise of people, and particularly if they're fools. Now, praise is good. Encouragement is be what we would call it in the Christian realms. To be great encouragers is a wonderful godly trait. I want to be a super duper encourager of people. But I don't want to give false praise to people. You see the difference? Encouraging their soul, encouraging their heart, encouraging in pain, encouraging in victory. But to be able to say, Lord, I want to be a person that I'm not just listening, waiting for the next compliment. Oh, you think so? Oh, you think so? Because what will happen is you become based upon men's praise. Hear this. I'm going to put two things together. The more you love men's praise, the more you'll prefer perfume over character. And the more you'll prefer party over depth. See it? And pretty soon you'll just get pulled away. And as you get pulled away, it'd be a lot of fun for a time. Proverbs 14:13 says this, even when the mouth laughs, the heart can ache. And then he gives us the opposite one we just read. He said, even when the face is sad, sometimes the heart can rejoice. Why? Well, because at that funeral, you can know that person's in heaven. And they're with Jesus right now. That's a great, great comfort. And so from that, I want to ponder and I want to receive criticism that it's constructive and to be able to walk through. And I want to grow in my life. And I'm not going to grow if nobody tells me, hey, you know what? If you maybe did it like this, it'd be a little bit better. Let me give you three questions that we can ask or be asked, ask of ourselves, actually. Three questions that we can ask of ourselves about receiving this criticism. First of all is this, am I wise enough to listen? Am I wise enough to listen? Sometimes as soon as we start getting a critique, it's like, boom, ears are closed, done, not going to listen, not going to listen, not going to listen. Next one is, who is surrounding me? He talks about fools here, the song of fools. Who is surrounding me? Who's surrounding me? On the wise enough to listen, I forgot a key point, it's in your blank. Strive for connection before correction. So let's go back to point one. I went too fast. Strive for connection before correction. Let me just tell you this. If you don't have a connection with that person, there's a very small chance they're going to receive what you're saying. And some personalities are high connect, and some personalities are high correct, okay? And if you're a high connect, it doesn't mean that you need to always say everything positive because you just want to keep everything fun and happy, right? And if you're high correct, you need to build into that relationship a little bit more before you get to that correction, right? You got to earn the right to be heard a little bit. And when you have connection, they'll receive the correction. But when you got no connection, you're just poking them in the eye with your correction, okay? So am I wise enough to listen? Is this a person I can listen to? Then the second point that I jumped to too quickly, who is surrounding me? Who's the one that's surrounding me? Is it somebody I love and I trust that can say, hey, brother, you gotta get with the program. Sister, you gotta get this thing going. It's not just empty praise, but to allow that to happen. Proverbs 13, verse 20 says, the one who walks with the wise will become wise, but a companion of fools will suffer much harm. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Okay, students? We got to have folks around us that are walking in the ways that we want to be walking. And then number three, and lastly, what song are they singing? Did you hear what he said? He said, better to listen to the rebuke from a wise person than to listen to the song of fools. For it's like the crackling, burning thorns under a pot. So is the laughter of a fool. So what song are they singing? We sometimes in our family will say, you know, who's leading this parade and where's it going? You know, and what that means, not like a physical real parade, but just where's this thought going and who's leading this thing? And when you can't see who's up there, you need to find out who's leading this thing and where's this thing going. Because if not, you could just jump in the line because, well, everybody's going. Where are you going? No clue, but everybody's going there, right? It's the old thing. All our grandmas asked us, you know, if everybody jumped off a cliff, would you jump off a cliff? Everybody jumped in the lake, would you jump off into the lake? No. If everybody started to walk into the lake, would you walk? Probably, right? And then get there. But once you get to the edge of the lake, it's a whole lot easier to jump in than it is if you get this back here in the back and you say, wait a minute, who am I following and where are we going? What's happening here? So that's why we want to follow Jesus, right? To walk with him into all of eternity of what God is doing. So, you know, it's a question we should all ask in our lives and our families. You know, are we listeners? Husbands, wives, Are we listeners? Cyprus, Siena, downtown, are you a listener? Digital family, are you a listener? Here's what can happen a lot of times. Yeah, sure. And we don't have a clue what they just said, right? And all of a sudden, we're so distracted, we're not listening. And you know what? There's some times with people you love, you need to listen with your whole body, right? You need to sit down and say, let's talk, me and you, phone's there, TV's off. Tell me, how are you doing? I mean, really, how are you doing? And really listen, and that makes that connection so that then, if needed, you can help them with correction. And a wise person will actually say to you, what do you think I should do? And it opens up the door of correction. Well, you know what? I think you ought to do this. So pretty amazing, this wisdom that Solomon is giving us here. Now, he's going to go on to two more that we're going to hit. It's going to be in verse 8 through 10. This one's going to be finish faithfully. Finish faithfully. So we've had that we want to ponder profoundly. We're thinking about things deeply. We're seeing deeper into the logo. We want to consider closely what is it that they're saying, what's going on, and we want to finish faithfully, okay? Let me give you a couple more would you rathers. You ready? You're doing so good. I'm so proud of you on your crowd participation. Way to go. All campuses. It's awesome. So here we go. A couple more. Our last little journey on crowd participation of this. Would you rather work more hours a day but have a longer weekend or work fewer hours a day with more work days? You get it? More hours a day and you get a longer weekend, or fewer hours a day and you just kind of keep working. How many want more hours a day and a longer weekend? Would you rather that? Okay, how many would rather, I just want to kind of keep on working, just keep it going type there. Okay, good. All right, awesome. Not didn't seem to be many of us. We like these weekends. That's awesome. That's great. Okay, this is very interesting, okay? Would you rather go into the past and meet your ancestors or go into the future and meet your great-great-grandchildren? Can I answer both? Would you rather go in the past and meet your ancestors or go into the future and meet your great-grandchildren? Who wants to go in the past, all campuses, all places, and meet your ancestors, okay? How many of you would rather go meet your great-great-grandchildren? That's right. That's good. I hope they turn out good, you know. I don't want to meet them out there and be disappointed, you know, which I won't be. If you hear this message as my great-grandchild watching on the internet, we love you. You're awesome, okay? Got to be careful. These messages live forever, right, nowadays. It's an interesting thought, though, isn't it? Both of them are really great things. And then he's going to ask, this is what Solomon's going to ask, would you rather start something or finish it? Would you rather start something or finish it? He's going to tell us to finish it. Watch in verse 8. Here we go. The end of the matter is better than its beginning. And then he goes on and takes even more things, really good stuff. A patient spirit is better than a proud spirit. Don't let your spirit rush to be angry, for anger abides in the heart of fools. Don't say, why were the former days better than these? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, I want you to be focused on finishing the task. I want you to be focused on getting it done. I don't want you to just start project after project after project. I want you to get a project and I want you to finish it. I want you to understand that parenting is going to take a lot of years. I want you to understand that marriage, that's your girl, that's your guy. Finish it is better. When we sit at a wedding, we go, oh, wow, you've been married 32 seconds. Or we go to an anniversary party and say, 60 years? Wow. You ever notice when we announce, when somebody says, I've been married such and such, and it's kind of getting up there, what happens? The entire place applauds, right? Somebody says, my flowers were beautiful at my wedding. Everybody's like, oh, who cares, right? Although flowers are great. It's the finishing, right? That's what it's about. It's that one that made it all the way through. It's the celebration at the end of Tom Brady's career, not what the rookie's going to do. It's all of those things. And so he says, I want you to finish well. And here's the truth about life. There will be numerous things that will knock you off course. Will you get back up? Will you get back on the path? And will you finish well? in the power of Jesus, not your willpower, not your strength, but finishing in the power of Jesus. Maybe you started something in January of these physical health goals, what you're going to do, and you didn't finish. Get back on the treadmill and go for it again. Maybe you bought Capture the Moment, said, this is a year I'm going to spend time with God every year. And you're like, I can't even capture the book. I'm not even sure where it is anymore, much less capture the moment. But to be able to spend time with God in those things, man, being a new parent is awesome. But being a parent of a great, great grandchild, one day to see that lineage as we look from heaven, probably at that point, but to see that, it's a great thing. It's awesome to be able to finish faithfully. And then he gives us just an interesting thing. He says, don't say, why were the former days better than the days that you have? You know, the older you get, the more likely that phrase is going to come out of your mouth. Ah, these kids today, I remember when we didn't have social media, we just go outside and play, right? Ah, I tell you what, you know, now y'all are weak. We used to roll down the windows, right? Let me tell you what, those TV shows, you never seen anything like, you know, Gomer Pyle, right? I mean, that was the height of drama. And we have all these moments that we just start looking back, and that, there's a place for that. That's great. It's called memory. God's given us a gift of memory. But let's don't let our look back make us bitter about the present and the future, right? Everything's my day. But your day was great. But you know what? Somebody else is making memories about their day, right? And they're enjoying their memories that they'll look back on and see. And so he says, don't let the former days become better than the last. It's not wise. Instead, finish faithfully and let God use you. Last one, and we'll hit this one fast. Let me share this quote of this song that I just think is so great about these former days, called Painting Pictures of Egypt by Sarah Grobe. The past is so tangible, I know it by heart. Familiar things are never easy to discard. I was dying for some freedom, and now I hesitate to go. I'm caught between the promise and the things I know. I've been painting pictures of Egypt. Think about the Exodus, leaving out what it lacks. The future seems so hard, and I want to go back. But the places that used to fit me can't hold what I've learned. Those roads were closed off to me while my back was turned. So the future feels hard. The past feels comfortable. We're used to it. But yet, we kind of gloss the past, don't we? It was hard too, but to allow God to take us into the future. And what does God have for us next? What's the next chapter? Even through a place of pain, even through a place of joy, whatever it is, what's the next thing? And Solomon says, I want you to be aware that there is a presence of God in your present circumstance. And there'll be a presence of God in your future when you look back. You know, right now, these are the good old days when you look back in 10 years. We're all going to look back, oh, those were the good old days. Remember COVID? No, we won't say that. But to be able to look back and to say, those were some great days. But when you're in them, there's always ants at the picnic. And you forget when you look at the picture of the picnic that there was ants at the picnic. That's what Ecclesiastes is about, this whole thing. Is a challenging thing called life. Last one, and we're done. Walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. Here's what it says with walking in wisdom. Wisdom, defined by Webster's, is having the capacity for sound judgment marked by deep understanding. I told you at the beginning of my definition, the ability to live life skillfully. That's what wisdom is. Look at verse 11 through 14, and we wrap this up. Wisdom, now he's getting all these rather thans, you know, which would you rather, better thans, and I was going to bring it together and say, this is wisdom is what I've been trying to get across to you. So look in Siena and Cyprus downtown. Wisdom is as good as an inheritance and an advantage to those who see the sun, because wisdom is protection, just as silver is protection, meaning, you know, money can protect you for some things. But the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom preserves the life of its owner. Consider the work of God. Who can straighten out what he has made crooked? I want you to remember that verse. Consider the work of God. Who can straighten out what he has made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful. Oil's at $80 a barrel. But the day of adversity, consider God has made one as well as the other, so that no one can discover anything that will come after him. So he's saying this, I want you to walk in wisdom. I want you to walk in wisdom. This walking in wisdom, wisdom will protect you. It will preserve you is what it said in the first couple of verses. And then in verse 13, I want to hit for just a moment. It says in verse 13, consider the work of God, for who can straighten out what he has made crooked? All of us are going to have things in our life that we are going to wish that we could straighten out. Okay? And we're going to have to trust God's sovereignty in our surrender because they're crooked. Okay? Today is the 15th anniversary of my mother-in-law passing away from cancer today. So my wife in her early 30s lost her mom. We lost her dad last year. And so, November of 2020, we lost her dad, so a little over a year. So today, 15-year anniversary of that. Now, I want you to know, I use this as an illustration. There's folks that have lost their parents recently. They're hurting deeply right now in the grief. There's folks that lost their parent when they were far younger than my wife, even though she was in her early 30s. There's deeper pain that happens in losing loved ones of a spouse or a child. So I'm not trying to say we got the corner of the market on pain. Not at all. I'm just telling you that when we look back at our life, on that crooked path of her going to heaven via cancer, we really wish she would have met our daughter, her granddaughter. We really wish she would have held her. We really wish she would have gotten the pictures to her phone last night of the daddy-daughter dance. We really wish we could have told her some things along these 15 years. We really wish if she prayed for us to come here to this church and only saw 2 years of our ministry here, she could have seen all the things that the Lord has done over these last 15 years. But it's a path that we wish was straighter, different curves in the road, that it's crooked in our mind. So what do we do? Get mad at God or trust the sovereignty of a loving Father of God? That's what we do. And from that, we have great memories, we have great joy, and we can walk this out and be healed in the power of the Spirit of God, right? Now, I want to quickly say, as we begin to wrap this up, Jesus does not prefer death over life. He does not joy in the funeral over the birth. That's not what we're trying to say. We're saying that we know because of sin, everyone's going to die. Do you know that Jesus never attended a funeral? Anytime Jesus and a dead body were in the same room, that dead body rose again, including his own. Why? Because he is the resurrection and the life. So that's why we can come to a funeral, especially of a believer, and have actually some like, you know what? A little too soon, for sure. We didn't like the way. We didn't like the wind. But God, we trust you of heaven, and we walk with you in that. So we're going to walk. We're going to think. We're going to consider. We're going to be profoundly pondering. We're going to walk in wisdom. We're going to finish faithfully. We're going to go forward in these ways. God can do a lot of things. So Solomon gives us some would-you-rathers. And you know what? They're challenging would-you-rathers, aren't they? Kind of like mind-bending. Some of them I get, some of them I don't. But here's the thing. Would you rather walk in your own wisdom or would you rather walk in the wisdom of God? That's the ultimate question. Would you rather demand your plan upon God or receive his plan even in the pain and the struggle that he has and to trust him through it in everything? Last illustration that I'll give you and we're done. February is Black History Month, acknowledging heroes and heroines of Black history. Let's go all the way back to the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8 from Ethiopia. He had the ultimate would you rather. He is in a chariot on the bidding of this empress queen named Candace, and he's reading his Bible. And he can't figure out what this Old Testament passage is about. And then Philip miraculously appears and jumps in the chariot with him. And he leads him to Christ. And then the Ethiopian eunuch says, I want to be baptized. Would you rather just ride in the chariot, not pay attention to the deep things of life? Or would you rather deal with the soul and walk with God? And church history tells us, it's just history, we don't have a place in the Bible, that Ethiopian tradition claims that he was the first evangelist to his country. Isn't that great? He chose the ultimate would you rather of trusting Jesus Christ and walking with him, and it changed the world in which he lived in. So, Would you rather walk with Jesus in the wisdom of God, or would you rather just try to figure it out all on your own? I'm choosing Jesus. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Yes and amen. Yes and amen. Father, we come in Siena and Cyprus and downtown, the Loop, Digital Family, Father, all of us coming, really all over the nation. It's amazing. And we just thank you, Lord. We want to choose today. We want to choose today, Father, the interior over the exterior. We want to see things deeply, even when it hurts, Lord. We want to walk with you faithfully. We want to walk in wisdom with you, God. We want you. We choose you, God. Life is filled with pain. Life is filled with joy. But we want to choose you. And we do that in Jesus' name, in his power. We would rather spend a day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. And so we trust you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, at every campus, we are going to give an opportunity for you to trust Jesus as your Savior. Digital Family, your online host, will do the same. But you respond as God speaks to your heart. And walk in wisdom and say, Lord, I want to walk with you, God. If you don't know Christ, you come and talk to somebody. Or just right there where you are, say, Jesus, forgive my sins and be my Savior. Give my life to you. If you do know the Lord, are you walking in wisdom? Are you walking in your perspective, in your anger, in your flesh, in your spirit? Choose what's better than those things. Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at the Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.